My beloved people, Thursday of this week, of this past week now, a priest by the name of Father Stemper, I know the man, but I don't know his first name, but Father Stemper, up in North Dakota, died. Let us pray for his soul.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
You say to me, I hear the bell tolling. For whom does it toll? It tolls for me. Father Stemper was a good priest. Up in North Dakota land. Old. Retired to a little house where he lived alone and said his mass every day. He died, I think it was last Tuesday, of a very serious heart attack. I mean, he had a very serious heart attack. Thursday, I think it was, of this past week, he died. In his house, there was a little chapel. And the Blessed Sacrament is in that chapel. And they have no priest within reach that they can call upon to come and take care of the Blessed Sacrament. The bell tolls a long way off from us, but we can hear it tolling. My beloved priests, my beloved people, when you hear it said, we have no priests, precious people, you'd best believe it. And this is a splendid example of what we're talking about. And I'm not terribly sure that they have located a priest around the place to bury him, a priest. Gone are the days when we could call across the street for help. Not anymore. And yet, and I don't say this, I tell you people, I'm talking to you people, I'm informing you people, I'm not yelling at you people, I'm yelling at the existence of things. And you'd better pray for the blessing that you have here. While we have no priests, we still continue to go on looking at our fancy doodle stupidities that we insist on labeling. That is where our holy Catholic religion is. My beloved people, it is not in the pretty building. It is not in the pretty vestments. It is not in the pretty song. It is not in any of those things. Those are only the husks, the outer husks of what we're talking about. And yet, we attach our attention on just the husks, never going, never daring to go and confront the kernel existing inside those husks. So we get exactly what we deserve wherever we are. And the people you know nothing about, people that I know nothing about, are there crying, wanting to go, if nothing else, to confession, if nothing else. And they can't go to confession because there is no priest to hear their confession. We've been talking about this for a long time. We've been talking about the outer winds of the hurricane. But we are now in the eye of that hurricane that we've been talking about. And so that's why, my beloved, my most beloved people, I cry to you and beg you to look at what is important and to turn away from all the monkey shines that we today, in our homespun way of having attended to everything, think that that's where our holy, one holy Catholic and apostolic religion dwells. It dwells in the heart of man, and it dwells in the sincerity of that heart, in the humility of that heart, in the prayerfulness of that heart. That's where it is. And you, my beloved people, must work not only for yourselves, but your intention must be every day to pray for those who are not so fortunate as to come anywhere near a priest. That's where we are. And we are spinning our wheels in so many places, putting emphasis on all the wrong things, that we say we're going to restore. We're going to restore our holy religion. I, the powerful me, the wonderful me, the well-instructed me, I'm going to restore holy religion. Our holy Catholic religion, our holy Catholic traditional religion. I ask a simple question. How can I restore something that I've never experienced? So much for that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Amen. Today's gospel is also related to what we've been talking about. How must I love my God? With my whole heart, with my whole soul, with my whole mind, with my whole being. What does that mean? Just what does that mean? This, of course, I spoke of the kernel a little bit ago. That's the kernel of a whole religion. And then we must go to that, and we must seek out that which will give growth to that kernel and give roots to that kernel. It doesn't mean that we have to go out and get on the street corners and make idiots of ourselves. It means that we must do exactly what it says, that we must love God first and above all things. But in order to love God as we are supposed to love God, the first thing that has to go is me. Because I am always, in every case, in every circumstance, in every exigency, in everything, I, somehow or other, am between myself and that vision. And if at all I see that vision, it's like looking through a fence that is made of little pieces of wood. I see it only in part. I'm afraid to go out in the full sunshine because it's a bit warm out there. And I'm afraid that if I go out too far out, that I may have to get rid of some of the shadows that I keep hanging on to for dear life, thinking that in holding on to those shadows, I will have some kind of fulfillment. But like the rich young man who went to him and asked, when we go there, we walk away sad. We are afraid. We are terribly afraid. We're terrified at the notion that in order to love God, I have to turn loose of me. And as long as I have one hand on me, be it ever so feebly attached to me, I do not love God with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole soul, with my whole being. Does that mean I become enslaved? Does that mean do I put a chain around me? How stupid when I ask such questions. It means rather that whatever chain is about me, I must throw away if I expect to have the pleasure, the absolute consummate pleasure of freedom. The more I love God, and the more completely I love God, the more completely am I free. But until then, there is something. You have some of you older people have heard of leeches. You know what a leech is. And you know what a leech does. They used to use them for medical reasons. The leech hangs on to you. And it keeps on sucking out your blood. And the more of these you have, the more of your blood goes out to them, and the weaker you become. But it is so imperceptible, because this is a pretty little thing here, and I must be careful not to hurt it. I must take care of it and nourish it while that is taking away my life's blood. We are not living in easy times, however often do we say that. But we attach these times to the physical that's outside. Let's forget the physical. Let's not pay attention to the physical. We can manage around the physical one way or another. We're smart enough to provide. We may have to scratch a little extra heavy sometimes, excuse me, in order to obtain that necessity of life, food, and shelter. It's not the physical that we must be aware of, that we must be concerned about so much. It is that which comes. The physical is only attending to the present moment, passing, fleeting, and going on like the floods of the ocean. That's not what I am speaking of, but rather that we should attach our attention and our concern to that eternal moment. When will we ever be able, in the scales of things, weigh out for ourselves that moment of this present moment, which is so pleasant, so attractive, so forceful, so pulling? Yes, these moments, I certainly will admit, these moments can be strong, dreadfully strong. So strong that it is almost impossible to fight against them. But we have to fight against them, regardless of how hard they pull upon us. It's the eternal moment that we have to worry about, which today, nobody thinks about them. Oh well, I'll worry about that tomorrow. Right now, I want this. And I want that, and I want the other. We don't give it a moment's concern. So, this morning as we read this gospel, God created me. He created me. He put flesh and bones in me, or on me, or whatever it is. Why? As I said last week, did he put me here to be a carpenter? Did he put me here to be a successful lawyer? Did he put me here to be a successful businessman, or a successful rich man, or a successful any kind of man? Is that why he put me here? Did he put me here to build monuments to myself so that generations after me can say, ah, what a wonderful man. Look what he did. Look how much he accomplished. Look what he did for the betterment of all of us. But the poor man, like the rich man and Lazarus, the poor man up there who did so much good for so many people, is crying out now, please give me a drop of water that I may quench the thirst that is in my mouth. For I did all these things, and I did them well. But I did them all for my own eternal glory and satisfaction. And what have I reaped? Eternal fire. That's... You think I'm trying to scare you? The only reason why I'm trying to scare you is because I'm trying to scare myself. And you just happen to be in the way. So, my beloved people, as we now are really drawing near to another year, you remember how much fuss we made just 10 years ago? Long time. It's a long time. And when we started Midnight Mass 10 years ago, we were not certain whether we would be able to continue or to complete that Mass. You remember? You young ones are just babies in arms. You don't know anything about it. And so when 12 o'clock came, we all looked at our watches to see it happen, to see it probably the end of the world come being, but nothing happened. But what happened was not so much the physical, but what happened in the heart of man. That's where it took place. And we didn't pay attention to it. So, I'm just trying to keep me informed of what didn't happen in the name of God. And here we are again, wondering what's going to happen to tomorrow for me and for us. Stay in the state of grace. Say your prayers. Love God. And go about your business. If you love God the way God wants you and me to love Him, then I have no worry about any of us. Let us be about doing just that with happiness and joy and, please, humility. The proud man is laughing in his heart at these words because the proud man feels that he has got the whole world in the palm of his hands. Little does that poor, poor man know. Love God, my beloved people, and all the rest shall be added to you besides. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't you dare give in to discouragement. I don't care what. Be strong. Be stout-hearted. Plant one foot in front of the other and keep on going. And hold on to your faith. That's all that counts. Hold on to your faith and hold on to what your faith asks of you. And put aside all the monkey doodle things that we today, in order to keep people... We laugh at the Novus Ordo church because it's got all kinds of monkey doodle things. The traditionalists are doing even better than that. And confusion reigns supreme. Pray, my beloved people, for all who want to do it and who need the courage to do it right. May Almighty God bless you in a very special manner, every one of you, and keep you in His joy and keep you in His sacred heart. This week, I have to say this, I cannot avoid it. This week we have great occasions. St. Michael, Tuesday. Put St. Michael to work. And be specific. And ask him what you need. Then comes the guardian angel. How many times have I told you to be specific with your angel? Explain the matter to him. Talk to him. Don't be afraid to talk to him. You men, it isn't sissy to talk to your angel. The more muscle you've got, the stronger you've got muscle to talk to him and put the matter in front of him entirely. Then comes the Blessed Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus, where you will learn and ask her to teach you again. I'm not aiming at men all the time. Please forgive me if you think I'm shooting at you. Well, in truth I am, but overlook it, please. Just keep on going. You big, powerful men, ask her to teach you what the little way was and what it meant to be little. God's little children. Little ones of God. Humble ones of God. She will teach you, but you have got to prove to her that you really want what you're asking for. And she will help you. She will help us. She, together with Saint Joseph, are both the patrons of this church, this particular church. And we picked out this particular Saint Teresa, not that I had any problem with it, but a little old lady, now gone to her paradise, I'm sure, and I'll even mention her name, unknown to anybody. A lady by the name of Elizabeth Edge in Owensboro, Kentucky. The most simple person you would ever want to meet. Who talked about the saints as if they lived next door to her. She criticized them because they were outside mowing the lawn or doing this, that, and the other. They were her neighbors. They were her people. They were her family. They were her loved ones. Little, tiny little lady, but as strong as a pillar of iron. And she said, ask Saint Teresa to be your patron. I did.